All right. Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. Outer National, that's who's banging on the drums right now. All right.
Hello, Michael Slate. You're going to hear an echo.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm excellent.
Sorry, Taylor, what are you doing here?
You're the one who invited me, my friend.
I'm glad you're here. Okay, and it's we got a lot to talk about.
Indeed.
And people need to hear it, and they need to dig into it, and they need to be part of all this because things are changing rapidly in many, many different ways, and the need to stand up and do this. All right. And all right, so as people should know, if you're listening, hopefully you know. If you're not listening, you're just tuning in. Glad to have you here, all right? So listen to this, all right? You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and I'm Michael Slate. And today's show features Sansara Taylor, writer for RevCom.us, co-host of the Revolution Nothing Less show, and now an organizer for Rise Up for Abortion Rights.
That's right.
And yeah, it's quite a impressive and needed. We need more people to have this kind of, you know, just going into the world like this. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about. The fundamental right of women to control their own bodies and the right to abortion as an indispensable part of this. Before we get into the whole show, I want to let people know that if you are listening to the show sometime after it was originally broadcast, you'll be hearing us talk about calling us up. Well, you won't be able to do that if you're listening to it after the show was already broadcast. So, Sansara, let's jump into this. What is going on here? Welcome to the show and just like start to give people a sense of, and you could do it just by banging on a drum right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Fair enough. Well, first of all, I'm really happy to be here early in 2022 with you, Michael Slate. It's going to be a momentous year one way or the other. And I wanted to start by calling your listeners' attention to a really profound and important new work that I know you've mentioned on this show before, but it's a work from the revolutionary leader and the author of The New Communism, Bob Avakian, that really frames this moment in history that we're in and what responsibility is on us, what danger is before the people of the world in this country. We're going to zero in today on the vicious assault on women's right to abortion, which really is a form of enslaving women to force women to have children against their will. And so we're going to spend a lot of time on that. But this is just one dimension of really a many-fronted assault on the lives and the rights of the people and the future of humanity that is going on right now with the rising fascist GOP party that didn't succeed in a coup a year ago on January 6th but came close and now is going even further and doubling down and preparing to succeed in the next round. We see this with the environmental catastrophe that's intensifying around the world. We see it in so many dimensions of what this system of capitalism and imperialism is doing to our people and our planet here and around the world. And so I think it's important to start this new year by calling everyone's attention to this major new work Bob Avakian just released called Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating. Profound crisis, deepening divisions, the looming possibility of civil war, and the revolution that is urgently needed, a necessary foundation and a basic roadmap from Bob Avakian, author of The New Communism, Revolutionary Leader. And this is the title of that work captures what's in it. He digs into this profound crisis. He digs into the looming possibility of civil war. He digs into the deepening divisions. We see them each and every day at the top of society. Biden comes out and says, there's a dagger at the throat of democracy. And then he gives a speech about, you know, protecting voting rights. And then the next day, he's getting nowhere. That's shot dead in the water. He's going nowhere. And the GOP is getting that. These divisions, that's just one example. These divisions are unresolvable at the top of society. And they're all throughout the society as a whole. And so a lot of people, frankly, are snoozing through this and they need to wake up. But also those who are looking are seeing the terrible that's coming, which is real and profound. That's the trajectory we're on. What is remarkable and it's so important for humanity in this talk from BA is that he gets into where this is coming from, how it's rooted in this system, what gives rise to it, and also how if we recognize the openings, if we act on it, if we wake up, and if we get with the leadership and the basic roadmap Bob Avakian's providing in this talk, there is the possibility to wrench something truly emancipating out of this crisis. Precisely because the norms of this system are not holding anymore. And it's a lot of work, it's a lot of struggle, but there is a roadmap and a path to seize on the crisis of this system, to bring forward a revolutionary people, to bring forward the organized forces and the leading core to make a revolution, to actually have a chance to bring this monstrous system down, the system of U.S. imperialism that has its troops stationed around the world, that is tortured, that is murdered, that is drone struck, that has struck terror into the lives of people all over the world for far too long. This system that has white supremacy rooted in its foundation from day one with chattel slavery through 150, 60 years of Jim Crow lynch mob terror after that's undone, massive struggle, and now you have relentless police murder, white supremacist police murder and terror, unrelenting. The chance to bring this system down, this is a chance that must not be squandered. And so I just want to start the new year, the conversation with you. And myself, I've been digging into this more and more deeply, really trying to appreciate and learn as much as I can from this, the light, you know, the light shining through this darkness that Bob Avakian is providing in this new major work, for how something truly emancipating can be wrenched out of this very dangerous situation. And so I just want to say this talk is available at revcom.us. You can listen to it. You can hear Bob Avakian deliver it. It's a 2.5 hour major work, very deep, very scientific, very popular at the same time. Or you could read it, or you could do both. It's the transcript. You can print it out, and it really is a roadmap for the people of the world to get free.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more on that. I mean, it's even in, you know, somebody who's been reading stuff for a long time, you can see it in my eyes, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, but the point is that this is actually something that is actually really breaking new ground in a way that, you know, a lot of times people didn't even think that that was was possible or necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's laid out the way it's laid out in this whole thing is you actually get a sense of there's a need and there's a possibility. You know, and I think that's extremely important for people to think about. And having said that, you know, I do want to get into the, you know, I don't want to lose any time on this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit. You have a clip that you brought with you, right?
That's right.
And so I want people to hear that because I think that's a good way to start it off. And then we can start diving into where we need to be.
Okay.
All right?
Very good.
Okay.
So, you know, I did just say everybody's got to get into this work from Bob Avakian and get with the revolution. That means getting with the RevComs. That means getting organized. So I do want to say there's a revolution club here in Los Angeles. There are revolution clubs in other parts of the country. People can join them and form them in different parts of the country. You can go to revcom.us for that information as well, or at the RevComs on all the social media platforms. Follow, DM, get organized, get involved, get in touch.
Mm-hmm.
What I did bring is, it's a short excerpt from this work from Bob Avakian, Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating, where he speaks to the oppression of women and the need to break the chains on women and unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution and the potential for this. It's not a very long clip, but I think it'd be helpful to play it, and then we can open up sort of this new effort that I've initiated with others around the mm-hmm. abortion rights fight.
All right, sounds good. Henry, did you hear that? All right, let's get a move on then. That's it.
Here is another profound truth. Even with all the ways that the heavy chains of hundreds and thousands of years of oppressive tradition weigh down on the masses of people and place a heavy burden, particularly on the half of humanity that is female, there is a deep yearning to be free of all this, which not only leads to imaginary hopes of supernatural salvation, but also erupts in unrestrained fury right in this real world. And that fury needs to be fully called forth, given a scientific revolutionary expression, focused toward the emancipation of all the oppressed and exploited of the world, and ultimately all humanity, directed to fighting against the fundamental source of all the suffering, this system of capitalism imperialism, with its suffocating and brutal patriarchal male supremacy, along with all its other outrages. This takes on even more powerful meaning and urgent importance in the current situation in this country and others, where the forceful assertion of raw misogyny, hatred of women, and patriarchal subjugation of women is becoming more blatant and unbridled, focused to a significant degree now in the escalating moves to even further deny women control over their own lives and their very bodies, with the right to abortion and even birth control being brought under mounting attack. Right now, this slogan and call needs to be taken up broadly and made a powerful material force. Break the chains, unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution.
All right, welcome back. And that was Bob Avakian. And we've been listening to, you know, just a piece of work of his that Sansara Taylor brought to us so we can talk about this. Because this is actually, I have to say, without any messing around, without anything else, this is a person who has spent his entire life digging into the reality of what is going on in the world, what's happening in the world, really fighting to figure out ways to actually understand it and change things in a way that it's necessary to do. And it's actually one of the things that actually, I don't do this because I think, you know, okay, well, it just proves you got some, like, you know, whatever. But, you know, from the first time I ever heard this person speak, he actually grabbed something around my heart and my mm-hmm. head and just made me. And this is something I think when I listen to this, when I listen to this talk, it's fundamentally one of the most important things I've seen so far in this place. And because so much is concentrated in what needs to be done and an understanding of what the hell is being done that needs to be changed and done mm-hmm. away with. So,
well, I think, you know, it's exactly what you've said. This is a revolutionary leader who has really given his heart, his passion, and decades of work and struggle, intellectual courage and rigor, and dedication to really solving the biggest problems of how a revolution could really be made in a country as powerful as this one. What would the new society be? He's written a constitution for a new socialist republic in North America. He has given, and he's also developed theory and advanced the science of revolution, the method to understand the world ever more deeply and to involve more and more people in that process, more and more consciously, to really continue not only in making revolution, but making sure it goes all the way to full emancipation. And he's situated this question of breaking the chains on women as much more central and driving to the whole revolutionary process. It's not the only question. It's ending white supremacy. It's ending the terror against immigrants. It's ending the disgusting notion of America first and American lives and proceeding from us and our country and blah, 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 our country in air quotes mm-hmm. for those who can't see me. He's developed an approach to all of this, and then he's applying this right now in this moment when really the future of humanity is concentrated. Because we have in this country the most powerful empire that has ever existed, the one with its claws around the world at a time of nuclear, you know, armed to the teeth for the world, potential conflicts and conflagrations around the world, and climate disaster. There is a rise of fascism in this country. There are deep divisions in this country that not only pose dangers for the people in this country, but really for the future of humanity. And so Bob Avakian is taking all of his life's work and dedication and science and the skill that he's developed in navigating and applying this science, and he's applying it to this moment, and he's really in a penetrating way seeing not only the dangers, which he definitely confronts and is struggling with us to look at wide-eyed and not sleepwalk through, but also how something beautiful and positive can be wrenched from this. And I think I wanted to play this clip, including that quote, break the chains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution, because as a follower of Bob Avakian, which I am, and more people need to be, if you want to get free, if you want to get humanity free, this is the leader to follow. But as a follower of Bob Avakian, we're going to talk about this struggle over abortion. I come at this not just from the desire to stop what is a massive assault, an existential threat to women's bodies, women's lives, women's ability to control their own lives, or be subordinated and terrorized by a patriarchal state that forces them to have children against their will. We come at this, the RevComs in this fight, come at this not just to defeat a great horror, although we're deadly serious about that. We come at it because we know there's a future that is possible, that is liberating and emancipating, and it's through joining this struggle and leading people to lift their heads and refuse to take this and to lift their sights to revolution, to a world that is emancipated, to the kind of society that Bob Avakian has written a constitution for, made real in theoretical conception, and we need to make real in the real world through mass struggle and organizing, it is possible to get to a society where mm-hmm. women's fundamental rights are not constantly contended but guaranteed in a foundation, and where we're the state, the society, the culture, the education system is giving backing to women and others to continue to tear down and uproot every leftover, every vestige of male supremacy, of patriarchy, of the notion that women are less than men, as the notion that that getting over on women, treating them like punching bags, is some kind of, you know, establishes yourself as a man and somebody in this world. Or the idea that sex should be the commodification and degradation and abuse of women, which is what's propagated in this culture. All of these things will be, you know, the struggle against these things will be given backing, and so much more. The patriarchal family. There's so much more. We have to lift our sights, and it's from that perspective of winning a better world, a different world, that myself and others who are RevComs have entered into and are uniting very broadly with this new effort that just got launched this week called Rise Up for Abortion, which is not a, you know, it's different than, and it's short of making revolution. It's consistent with the, you know, the kind of world we're fighting for, but it's also something that many people, and we're going to be uniting with many people who are not communists, who are not revolutionaries, who are from very different perspectives, and some of them who are opposed to the communist revolution, but also don't want to see women enslaved, to rise up. And I want to talk about this, probably we'll get into this for the rest of the hour or some, mm-hmm. of, and draw a line right now at a time when the Supreme Court has made clear that it is unlikely that nationwide abortion rights, as we have known them, as restricted and under assault as they have been, it's unlikely that they will last the next year if there's not a massive struggle. And that's the struggle that we want to lead and change.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Let me remind you that if you're just tuning in, we're talking today, you're listening to the Michael Slate Show. I should make sure that people know that.
That's right.
But also, we're talking with Sansara Taylor.
You know, it's really, before we get, I'm not going to go off for a long period of time on this, but I do think that there's actually the stuff that you're saying is extremely important for people to not only hear it in your ears, mm-hmm. but actually to bring it into your system, you know, mm-hmm. to bring it into your head, to your whole system, your way of looking at the world. And it's something that actually, I think, has been a remarkable, you know, I just think there's been a lot of stuff when you're talking about what Avakian has done, you're talking about what he's brought forward in people who stepped out and also done things that are very important in the world, you know, in terms of trying to change this and trying to stop the kind of horror that we have. That not just here. I mean, you know, if you've had the opportunity to go around the world, and I was thinking about this last night because just reading over some of the stuff that, you know, preparing for what we were going to talk about today to a certain extent, but even understanding that, you know, when you go, so I've been to many places around the world, and the thing that always struck me the most is the horror of the situations that people lived in, ask no questions manslaughter mm. of, you know, men and women in society all over, and not just in terms of their, you know, getting shot or killed or beat up or anything, but the whole fact that people's lives are determined by how much they got, how much they can get, how much they need to get. And invariably, and you look at this happens out across the board in this, where there's actually, you know, whether it's around the oppression of women, whether it's around the oppression of, you know, oppressed nationalities, whether it's around this, you know. And I'm not sure what that big thing was, but
that might be my fault. I'm sorry, okay. Michael. But keep
That's
going.
All right.
I didn't mean to disrupt.
Well, no,
you.
Just I'm just saying I want to get into what we should get into right now. And you're talking about, you have a piece that you were going to play first?
I think not yet.
Okay. All right.
I think not yet. For everybody listening, we're juggling right
yes.
now a number of things. So and it's all good. It's live radio. That's how it goes. So let me just bring explicitly into the conversation what we launched this week.
Okay,
and by we here, I'm talking about myself. And as I've been saying, I'm a follower of Bob Avakian. I'm a revolutionary communist, fighter for revolution. But I united with people from very different perspectives, and we launched something new this week, which is a struggle called Rise Up for Abortion Rights. And you can find it at riseup4abortionrights.org. And we're looking at the fact that almost 50 years ago, the Supreme Court passed a landmark ruling, 1973 Roe versus Wade. This was a watershed, a landmark ruling, a major change in the laws and structure of society, which have had massive implications for the lives of millions and millions of women, and really for the social fabric of this country. Women won the right to abortion nationwide. It was protected as a constitutional right nationwide, all 50 states. And this enabled women to have a modicum of control over their bodies, their destinies, their reproduction, a very important control. I mean, you see women in public life today. You see women on the college campuses, not only in the classrooms, but in front of the classrooms. You see them in professional sports. You see women in every sphere of society, yes, facing discrimination, yes, facing harassment, yes, facing all the things that women still face under a patriarchal society. But all of this change in women's social position has been undergirded and made possible by access to birth control and access to abortion. This is a major part. If women, without this right, they can't be free. Without the right to decide for themselves when and whether to have a child, they cannot be free. And ever since this right was granted, it has been under assault by women haters, by fascists, by a growing movement of Christian fascists, and it has been chipped away at, restricted again and again, and assailed with the notion that women's duty is to bear children. Women should be shamed if they're not having kids or if they have an abortion. They're murdering something. No, they are not. Fetuses are not babies. Abortion is not murder, and women are not incubators. So this is very important, this right. But here we are, 49 years after this right was won. And there's a case out of Mississippi that would ban abortion at 15 weeks. This is an open violation to Roe v. Wade. This is an unconstitutional law. And normally a law like that would just be struck down by the courts, the lower courts. Doesn't match the Supreme Court's ruling. It's unconstitutional. You don't get to apply it. But instead, the courts at every level up to the Supreme Court have said, well, we'll consider this. And then they had hearings on it last September. And the fascist majority of judges, three of them appointed by Donald Trump, made very clear that they are inclined to uphold this Mississippi ban, which would mean at minimum radically undercutting Roe versus Wade in a dramatic way and quite possibly overturning it altogether. If it's overturned, there are 20 states that immediately already have laws on the books, immediately would ban or severely restrict abortion. This comes on top of the fact that in Texas, the most, you know, where there's, I think, about 9 million women of reproductive age, abortion is effectively banned in that state already at 6 weeks into pregnancy, in violation of Roe v. Wade as well, based on a vigilante bounty hunter law. So this is a deadly serious assault. It is a watershed moment. And what we've done with this effort, RiseUpForAbortionRights.org, is to bring together voices from different perspectives. Merle Hoffman, who is a clinic owner and operator, an abortion clinic operator and fighter on this front for many years in New York City. Lori Sokol, who is an editor of Women's E-News, myself. Ruchira Gupta, who is an Emmy Award-winning journalist and filmmaker who's done incredible work against sex slavery in Nepal and India and a whole host of other things. Voices like Dr. Cornel West, formerly known as Eve Ensler, the playwright and poet, Frances Fisher, Gloria Steinem, the very well-known feminist, longtime, lifelong fighter for women's rights. There's a whole host of people from diverse perspectives who came together and said, you know what? It's going to be on us. This is the time to draw a line. This is a time for people to stand up and struggle and refuse to let this right be taken away. And the way to do this is to change the terms in society through mass resistance, through people standing up in acts of protest, not one day symbolically and go home, but again and again, relentlessly, in a way that stirs society and wakes up the millions of people whose lives are going to be impacted by this, to come into the streets and change the terms throughout society and create such mass struggle on the scale that we saw in the streets 2 years ago against the police murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. On that scale of throwing down, unleashing the fury of women and others to say, we won't go back, there should be no surrender, and women are not incubators, and we refuse to accept that world, and you are going to have to deal with our demand, create such an uprising from below that every institution, including the Supreme Court, has to deal with that demand. And it changes what these women haters feel they can get away with. And so this movement is calling for mass struggle. beginning this January 22nd on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, we're starting in D.C. and growing. We're going to have national organizing, Zoom conferences for people across this country to get involved. There should be actions on campuses and the arts, in every sphere and in the streets. And on March 8th, International Women's Day, across this country, the streets need to be filled with the fury of women and others saying no, abortion on demand and without apology. And so then from there, even greater struggle. There's a whole fighting program to change the terms from below, and this is going right up against the fascist assault. It's also going up against, and this is very important, the disgusting, just craven capitulation of the so-called leaders of the so-called women's movement. It has to be said, and the Democratic Party, it has to be said, that right now in the face of the greatest assault on women's lives and right to control their bodies and destinies, this massive juggernaut of female enslavement is barreling towards women, half of society, half of humanity, and there is screaming silence and capitulation from the so-called leaders of the so-called women's movement, and they won't lead people in standing up. And what they're doing is they're saying, well, we don't have the Supreme Court, so I guess we have to retreat to some 40-year plan. This is straight up what they put out, a 40-year plan to win this right back through the legislative electoral process. And it's capitulating in advance. How many women's lives are going to be shattered, suffocated, destroyed by the lack of this right in those 40 years? And you know what? It's possible. It's possible. It's not a guarantee, but it's possible. When people rise up and struggle to change what seemed impossible yesterday becomes possible today. There are millions and millions who'll be affected by this, and they have to be aroused, they have to be organized, they have to be led to fight, and that's what this new effort, that's what we're taking responsibility for. Abortion rights, rise up for abortion rights. Rise up, number four, abortionrights.org, and everybody has to get involved if you want to be able to look every woman and child, girl, in the eye and promise them a future as full human beings, not incubators, then you have to get involved in this struggle. Rise up, number four, abortionrights.org.
You know, and that's just real quick, because I think that's what you said is actually really, it's incredibly important, and it's important for people to hear it and to actually bring it into their own heart and stuff to understand what's at stake here, you know? And there is this point of, like, you look at the role of women, and I was just reading something last night, you know, where it made this point of, like, well, you know, there's still some of these places that, as if they were, you're talking about the out there, you know, basic, you know, the people out in the hinterlands and stuff that have no understanding of any of this, that they don't have any other choice, or they love it or stuff like that. All this stuff, as if there isn't an actual reality to this. And why is it important that people understand this? Because it's not enough to just say, no, that's wrong. You know, that's important to say. It's important to make that every time you need to, and more. But it's also, people have to understand, what the hell is this? What is it? You know, because it's not something that you can just say, well, you know, you got your thing, you got your belief, I got my belief. Because this person's belief, that might be a whole bucket full of who knows what, you know, that actually has a major impact on what actually is being developed and used by the system itself to bring forward more and more of its reactionary horror, you know. So I think it's what you're saying is really important in this, in terms of calling people forward on this. So maybe did you say you had some stuff you wanted to hear?
Well, I think we have a song.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see one thing here. I think you have a song. That's the room. So I think we actually are getting. I have good news, Michael.
All right.
I have good news to everybody listening. We, I think, are going to be able to open up the phone lines. I think the tricky thing here in studio got solved, and I think it's sounding good in our ears. So maybe we should just jump into that.
Yeah. All right, so.
Success.
good. All right. Now that is something. We could just blast that for a while, you know, and just go into the next program. Well, let's jump into this.
And let me remind you once again that if you're listening to the show right now, that means that you're listening to a pre-recorded version of the show, and you will not be able to call into the show and have a conversation with my guests. But you will get a hell of a lot out of the conversation that went on between my guests and the callers.
We would love to hear from you if you have questions about this abortion rights fight that we're talking about, the assault on abortion, and what must and can be done. If you have questions or comments about that or about this larger moment, something terrible or something truly emancipating in the fight and the need to wrench a liberating revolution and the basis to do that out of this very dangerous moment. So we're happy to talk about either of those things. And we have a caller? Oh, okay. All there right. We go. We have a caller. I'm going to do this line. I love this line. Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. What's your question or comment?
This is Ivy Hernandez.
Ivy.
And the reason I'm... Yes, my comment is the following. If you are going to make women carry children, not children, making carrying a fetus, you better start paying child support from the moment of conception. Full child support. Because you said this is a child, then you start paying immediately, before the fetus becomes a child. And that is not until they come out of the womb, because they cannot survive until then. So start paying child support immediately. Enforceable child support. We'll see how many men are going to put up with that.
Ivy, I hear that. Listen to that. I hear the anger in your voice, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. I respect that 100%. I hope you do go to abortion, riseupforabortionrights.org. It's riseup4abortionrights.org. There is a powerful statement. There's a form to sign. You need to become part of organizing together with us. We need all that fury and so much more. And it is really important that that fury gets given voice and manifests in the streets. In that clip that we listened to from Bob Avakian earlier, he said, all over the world, we have seen this unrestrained fury unleashed. And you see the power of this. We saw this in Poland. This ripped that society apart month after month. There was a vicious, even more vicious assault on restriction on abortion there. And people went in the streets and didn't accept it. And it actually inspired people all over the world. They have not won that yet, but they waged a fight. Look, there's no guarantee, but they waged a fight that changed the terms. And I remember reading a quote from one of the leaders of that struggle there, where at a certain point she said, it must be hard to rule the country when the agenda is being set by someone else. And she was talking about the force and the fury of women from below. And that's what needs to come forward now. So I heard it in Ivy's voice. And I want to thank you for that call. And I think everybody who feels that in different ways needs to be part of this fight. And we need to arouse that and many more, because that's a powerful force and we can change the terms in this society.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's important that actually when you said that, are we looking for, okay. anyway, you know, it's important that you raise this, because there is in a lot of levels, there's things that get past just, you know, people oftentimes will say, I agree with you. You're having dinner. I agree with you. I don't have a problem with women coming here, eating with me and doing this and doing that. You know, I don't have a problem with women having jobs or some jobs or whatever, you know, which is oddly enough and sadly enough is actually not that's such an antiqued, you know, thing going on here as if women actually are getting, aren't able to work now or anything like that. But there's a whole process that goes on that basically dictates the life that women have in this society, across the board, on everything. Even if you think it's not happening, it's impacting everything, every aspect of a woman's life. Because even the woman herself is oftentimes told, it's not possible to do anything better, so just be the best on this. Mm. You know, and it's something that really comes out. And I thought one of the things that actually, you know, just looking at the stuff that you've been talking about, the fact that this is immediately and all around rejected. You know, that this is and called on not just women, but on people everywhere, because it's not just women taking care of women. It's actually humanity has to take a stand on this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to talk about the capitulation a little bit more, because it's part of what people need to wake up to is there's nobody coming from the Democratic Party or the professional so-called women's movement to handle this for you. This is a juggernaut of female enslavement. It is advancing. It has momentum. It has It dominates the highest court in the land. It dominates the state legislatures across this country. It has a social base of millions and millions of crazed fanatics. They were part of, they were a solid force within that Capitol insurrection a year ago. Some of them burned down a clinic in Tennessee, an abortion clinic, on New Year's Day this year. This is a movement that has assassinated 11 abortion providers. This is a movement that's deadly serious, and there's nobody who is standing up to it unless we do it ourselves. The Democratic Party is capitulating, and one of the ways they're doing it, and the so-called women's movement is too, and you were talking about this when you said women helping women. It's not just women helping women. It's all of society in struggle to defeat this enslavement mm-hmm. of women. It reminded me, one of the big things being put out there, you know, people are they're raising money for abortion funds. Oh, let's help the women of Texas travel to other states. Now let's help the women of Mississippi travel to other states. Now let's help... You're not going to help millions and millions of women who need this travel. And you're going to give up this right and say, oh, and pretend you're going to help all these women travel. It's a joke. It's a bad joke. And then you have these people out here saying, oh, we don't care. You have the courts. You could take away this right, but we'll help women get the abortion pill through the mail. You can do it in the safety of your own home. And I'm all for the abortion pill. It's a great, remarkable, and frankly, liberating medical development. But the notion that you're going to let this right be taken away and abortion be criminalized and pretend it's not a problem for the state to do that mm-hmm. to women because you're going to help some women get an abortion pill, which most women won't be able to access, only works till 10 weeks into pregnancy. Women need abortions at all stages in pregnancy. And frankly, they're already, these Christian fascists are already criminalizing it. They're criminalizing mailing it. They're criminalizing, women have already gone to prison in this country. In this country, women have already gone to prison for miscarriages. Do not kid yourself and do not listen to these fairy tale, make-believe, feel-good cover for capitulation that is coming from, look, I'm going to call them out too, the Women's March. Did these big marches October 2nd around the country for abortion rights? That was positive, but what did they say? From the national level, they said, don't bring coat hangers. Don't wear handmaid's costumes. Don't talk about female enslavement. They straight up said, don't call this enslavement. It is enslavement. But part of why they said this is they're prettifying. They're prettifying what this will mean. And they have to, because they are linked to a Democratic Party that doesn't want to fight this. And you can't tell the truth of what it is and then say we're not going to fight it. Oh, yeah, it's the enslavement of half of society, but we're going to do nothing about it. So you have to pretend it's not that bad. Well, we're going to tell the truth, and we're going to arouse people in struggle, and it's going to be on all of us, all of you listening who don't want this to happen. The Democratic Party is part of this system, and they are more concerned with the stability of the system. They're terrified of that fascist social base. So they're capitulating. They keep bending over backwards and trying to find common ground with them and ceding the ground and capitulating on this right and many others. We're going to have to wage that struggle ourselves from below. Again, it's riseup4abortionrights.org. I know we got calls coming
in. Yeah, but let me say real quick, you're listening to the Michael Slate Show, and we're talking today with Sansara Taylor and all of you about it's not just the existence of the horrors here. It's the call on people, as you're saying, to stand up and fight this. You have a responsibility as a human being and to humanity in general to fight this. I don't give a damn who you are. You know, if you think you're one side or the other, and that's important for people to understand, this is not sort of like, well, I like dating this woman, but I don't know if I want her to do all of that other stuff, you know, which is the other stuff is becoming a human being and with a free living, a free existence. And I cannot read exactly what that is.
We have a caller named Bruce. Are you there on the line?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes,
you can.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. First of all, I agree with, you know, Roe v. Wade. I was in high school, senior in high school back then. This is a little off topic, and that's the Rev Com Party itself, the messaging. Aren't you just preaching to the choir? Because I'm thinking, you know, when people hear this, they're freaking out. Oh, the revolutionary communists. No, 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 no. The Red Scare and all that in Russia. Isn't that, you know, just, it goes against what you're saying. It gets in the way, doesn't it?
Well, it's, I have to, first of all,
mean, it's honest. It's honest, but doesn't it get in the way?
Well, I appreciate that last part. It is honest. And, no, I think it there is part of what's throwing me off is you said you're preaching to the choir and yet you're saying something that everybody doesn't like. So there's a contradiction there. Obviously, we're not preaching to the choir because we are on the communist front, on the need for revolution. We are going against the grain. And it's a grain that needs to be gone against. Because right now, people do. You're precisely right. There's a Red Scare. There's anti-communism. People think it's the boogeyman. People also think we live in a great democracy, the leader of the free world, the greatest country that's ever been. Those are lies.
They're
killing lies.
That's a joke.
Yeah,
but... it's a joke, though. I mean, we know that.
Well,
I'm wondering about the messaging. I mean, I'm wondering about the effectiveness of getting the message out. You hear those words, and they're like, they want to hide under covers, or
respond, Bruce.
You have a representative democracy.
You're speaking to something real, and I want to speak to it. The
sure.
Bottom line is, the most essential thing is that the problems that we face, that humanity faces, objectively, scientifically, the oppression of women, the white supremacy, the destruction of the planet, the wars for empire and the grinding crimes against humanity, and the terror, the open terror against immigrants, now warehoused en masse in concentration camps on the border of this country, but also all over the world, the refugee crisis, all of this is a scientific fact, is rooted in and unresolvable under the system of capitalism imperialism. A lot of people don't like this system, and they like to say, I don't like capitalism, but they have to confront this is unresolvable under this system. That's a fact. It's a scientific fact. If somebody wants to make a case that these things can be solved under this system, show your evidence. But the evidence shows it cannot be. And the other side of that truth, and this is not my idea, my message. This is an objective fact. It might be one that people find uncomfortable, but it's one we better confront because the future will be uncomfortable, even more so if we don't, is that the only solution to that, to uproot these forms of oppression, is to bring this system down, to overthrow it, to replace it. And what it can be replaced with in a world where there's massive socialized means of production, massive ability to produce the wealth and to meet the requirements of life for the whole planet, including not just the material needs, food, clothing, shelter, raising a new generation and safety, but the intellectual, the cultural needs, the desire for people to share and learn from each other and to explore nature and the world and the arts. To have a world like that where the wealth of society is put towards the common good, you need to reorganize the mode of production. You need a socialized production where the wealth of society is put for the social good, planned on in a conscious way, not driven blindly by profit. That's a socialist society on the road to communism. And that's the foundation on which we can go to work to bring down for good, uproot for good these forms of oppression. That's an objective fact. So this is why what Bob Avakian says in his book, Basics, we need a revolution. Anything else in the final analysis is bull-s. That's the truth. And it might be an uncomfortable truth for people to confront. But you're right. It is the truth. We are telling the truth. And this is a big problem in American culture right now. Everybody wants a message that's comfortable to them. Everybody wants to sell something. Everybody wants to, you know, can something go viral? Can you get something out there that resonates with where people are at? Well, people are in a bad place. I don't want to resonate with where people are at. I want to change where people are at so we can change the world. So I'm going to tell the truth. This is a principle. Bob Avakian makes the point also in Basics, the importance of principle is you stand on it even when it's not easy to do. Otherwise, it has no meaning. The whole point of principle is you stand on it even when it's not easy. We need to tell people the truth. We need to tell people the truth. We can't baby feed them, spoon feed them, keep them comfortable, passive, and sleepwalking off a cliff. We have to tell them the truth. We need a revolution. It needs to be a communist revolution. Bob Avakian is a leader. Yes, he's an old white guy. He's developed the scientific approach. Get over it. Get with it. Learn about it. Take it up, change the world with it. This is a road that can emancipate humanity. Another truth we need to tell and be very frontal about is that anti-communism has crippled and mangled movements of opposition, movements of resistance in this country throughout history and around the world. It has never been beneficial. So to everybody who might be turned off about standing up for abortion rights because there are communists involved in it. This riseupforabortionrights.org is a united effort with diverse perspectives. Our mission is to unite all who can be united, which includes bourgeois Democrats. It includes people in different outlooks and religious beliefs and backgrounds who do not share my communist convictions. That's a broader effort, and it needs to be. But I will tell you this, if you don't join with it because there are communists involved, then you are going along with the enslavement of women. Because there is one road that can stand up to and defeat this assault on women. That's also true. And the communists are in it, and it's stronger because of it. And I'll give one more reason why, because I think I really appreciate what, Bruce, what you were raising, because these are, I don't agree with, you know, some of the lean you were putting on them, but these are important questions. I will say, it is actually because the RevComs, myself as a follower of Bob Avakian and others who will be part of this, are not enslaved to this system, are not thinking just within the options that are given by this system, that we are able to see the freedom to lead struggle against this abortion fight, both the freedom to fight for and wrench a revolution, but also to unite broadly against this assault in opposition to what the Democratic Party, who are representatives of this system, who are constrained by being that, whose interests are wed to keeping this system going with its patriarchy, and with the fact that half of the system is now riddled with fascists who are tearing it apart from the inside towards a fascist form of rule, and that constrains them too, so they won't wage this fight. And it's actually because we're not that we're able to unite broadly and lead this struggle. So all those things are truths that you're right, they go against the grain, but they need to be spoken, and people's thinking needs to be changed on them.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you think this will change it?
I think we have to, it's our only chance is to fight to change, and I think you should be part of that fight.
Well, yeah, I want to be, but, you know, I look at history, too. I look at Debs, you know, in 30, and he was in prison, and, you know, he ran for president four times, you know, he's a socialist. And, you know, it's not, you know, do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, the socialists got 30% in the vote, and I think it was...
All right, listen, Bruce, let me invite you if you want to correspond. I'm very interested in more you have to say at riseup4abortionrights.org is the website, or you can write to info@riseup4abortionrights and that.org, and that's for everybody listening. I know that I'm getting the signal, Michael and I are both, that we have a number of other callers. So we're gonna say thank you for calling, and we'll get our next call.
All right.
All right, thank you, Bruce. All right, is there... We do have someone out there? Okay, actually. So let's we'll talk, all right? I mean, one of the things that I've run into quite often, actually, and it's very heavy because there's this thing about, like, well, you're, you know, this question, and you started to speak to it, but there's also this point of, like, you know, well, you know, you want to make women do what you want to make women do. You want, you know, there's and you'll get people who are saying that they're not looking at it as men are stomping down on women, but they're actually saying it's the way things go. It's the way the society was built. It's the way, and you know, there's some truth to the fact that it is the way society has been built. For thousands of years, it's the way society's been built, and that's exactly the damn problem. When you think about this, the need to actually stand up and fight back against this in a principled way, and in a way that actually not only points out that this is happening, but actually points out why it's happening and how you can actually stop it, why you need to stop it as well. Are we getting someone on the, I think, I don't know. All right, well.
If you're on the line, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Okay, we're waiting. All right.
All right, we're working it out here. We got a good team. Listen, we got a good team. Part of what's going on is we got a good team and there's, all right, here we are. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm Margo, and I'm in the city from east of Los Angeles. And I have a question that I've been hearing. I want to know what is meant by revolution. What specifically does that entail? I've heard it mentioned with Bob Avakian saying it and Michael saying it and you saying it. What specifically do you mean by revolution?
Oh, that's
a detailed description of the fact. You know, a
also a great question. Thank you, Margo. Real revolution, and it's important to clarify, so I'm glad you called, because people do throw the word around a lot. Real revolution means a force of millions organized and led to rise up and defeat and dismantle the ruling institutions and forces of repression of this state that rules over us and enforces capitalism and imperialism. It means bringing the current system down and replacing it with a new economic system, a socialist economic system, a new political system, the dictatorship of the proletariat, a system in transition to a communist emancipated world, a new social way of relating, new education system. This is concretized. Bob Avakian has written a constitution for the new socialist republic in North America. It's available at revcom.us that lays out what the new society would be. And the point is, I just want to add one other thing because it's very crucial right now, is a revolution has been necessary to end the oppression and degradation that this system enforces for a long time. It's in the nature of the system that these things can't be resolved. We need a revolution. But it is a rare thing in this country, a rare circumstance that makes revolution possible. When you have such a deep crisis in the society and in the governing institutions that they can't rule in the old way that the people have been accustomed to accept. And when you have millions and millions of people who are refusing to put up with the old way, whose allegiance to the system has been broken and are willing to fight for a different way, and when you have a leadership, a trained, organized leadership and a movement that's capable of taking that somewhere good. Now, we don't have all those three conditions right now, but that first condition is actually ripening. It's that condition exists with the splits in this society. We are in a rare time where if we do our work and take up the roadmap Bob Avakian has laid out in this new talk at revcom.us, something terrible or something truly emancipating, we could ripen the other two conditions and actually have a fighting chance to bring this system down. So I wanted to answer the question what a revolution is, and I wanted to combine that with the rare moment we're in and why we have to seize the time. I hope that's helpful, Margot.
Not really. I don't understand. I don't hear any practical things that you're... What specific things like person like me could do? I mean, I know that Bernard Sanders, Senator Sanders, had a lot of people joining together, and they showed up, and they made a difference. I know that when I hear Galley's pleas for money from some of the candidates, that I say, get out there and talk to people. Don't just ask for money. What specific thing could someone do to say, oh, I want to help with the revolution? I mean, I don't like just hearing that Bob Avakian says it. I want to know specifically a tangible, practical thing that someone like me or other people could do. It's just that I thought more specific, just really one ABC, 1, 2, 3, what specific steps do people take to get to this idea of an actual revolution?
Well, I think one thing is to actually connect with the revolution clubs, and you can find them at the RevComs online, on the social media, different, all the platforms. People are organizing for this. And I think that another big thing is we do actually have to have exactly the question you asked. We have to have a big society-wide debate over reform or revolution. Because you say that Bernie gave people something to do. Well, he did. But it actually was in the service of this system. And he hasn't changed anything. He has changed nothing. Honestly, he's part of this system. He's part of championing this system, which is continuing to grind up the lives. He said he was going to have the Green New Deal, all of this, him and AOC. That's gone nowhere. The planet catastrophe is accelerating, and it will under this system. He's not the same as the fascists. He's not the same as Biden. But I want to contest the idea, and this is part of spreading the revolution, is taking on the notion that anything short of bringing this system down, and that is a real thing, and then organization and steps towards that, spreading this talk from Bob Avakian. And the leadership matters. I don't want to hear just about Bob Avakian. Well, actually, people need to hear about Bob Avakian. He is the person in this country and in the world today who's forged a way out. That needs to be known, and people need to know. If you think for 2 seconds seriously about what it would mean to bring this system down, you need to know that there's somebody who's developed a strategy and is at the helm, that has the capacity, has the understanding, has the skill, has the experience, and the commitment to lead that all the way through. People need to know this revolutionary leader, and spreading that is a key part of building up the forces for revolution and giving people the confidence in joining this revolution. So I don't want to dismiss what that means.
We have to, as much as I'm enjoying listening to this, I'm thinking, how can I throw in? We actually have to... change. You have to basically start moving out of the station.
That's true.
So thank you very much for calling. And Sansara, thank you.
You know, it's always helpful. It's really helpful and helpful. Okay, because I love the spirit you bring to it, and the spirit you bring is filled with reality and the importance of people picking that up and using it to change the world. And that, to me, is one of the best things I run into all day long, okay?
All right,
and
Michael.
So maybe if you're still going to be around, you could come back next week and we could actually have this all fixed up.
we'll do it again very soon,
okay,
one way or the other.
All right,
thank you, Michael.
Good. All right, take care.
And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
Set out to do. Stand. There's a cross for you to bear. Things to go through if you're going anywhere. Stand for the things you know are right. It's the truth that the truth makes them so alive. Stand.
All the things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal. There's a permanent crease in your right and wrong. Stand.
There's a midget standing tall,
and the giant beside him about to fall. Makes sense at all.